Well, Bob, now we're hearing about Republican lawmakers in Texas who want to take an inventory of sorts of the types of books that children are being exposed to in schools.
You have a lawmaker from Fort Worth whose name is Matt Krause, state representative here, who chairs the House Committee on General Investigating. And a couple of weeks ago, he sent a letter to a number of school districts across Texas, and he's never really said how many, basically asking them to tell them how many of this list of 850 books they have in their schools. And he linked it into this effort against teaching critical race theory in schools. And as best as anybody has determined, critical race theory isn't taught in Texas schools, but I think it's become this catch-all phrase to refer to topics that touch on racism and the history of racism and race relations in this country. So three school districts in El Paso received this request, the three large districts, El Paso, Isleta, and Socorro. The Socorro district has said they're not going to comply, and they basically told them, look, our list of books are online. You can go look it up if you're curious. The other two districts have not responded yet. One of the books on there is written by Benjamin O'Leary Sines, who's an El Paso author. It's a book he wrote about a decade ago called Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe, which is a young adult novel that was very well received by critics. Lin-Manuel Miranda's developed it into a movie. The sequel to the book just came out, and it's on the New York Times bestseller list, but it's controversial because it touches on issues of sexuality. And so Ben has some things to say about that in our story, too.
Be interesting to see where this goes next. And where we're going next is El Paso and the debate over Duranguito.
Back in 2012, the voters of El Paso approved a really big bond issue to do a number of projects. One of them what was referred to as a multi-purpose entertainment facility. City Council decided in 2014 to locate the arena in a neighborhood in the Union Plaza District. Some people refer to that neighborhood as Duranguito. A local art historian named Max Grossman brought a lawsuit challenging the way the city reached the decision and was preparing to destroy what he believes was the historic neighborhood. This has gone back and forth in the courts. The courts generally in the last couple of years have ruled in favor of the city. That changed a little bit this week, where an appeals court basically imposed an injunction to block any further work in the neighborhood. And in the midst of all of this, the city council finally decided, let's try to get an accounting for how much it's going to actually cost to build this arena. The taxpayers approved $180 million for it. That's clearly not enough to build a 15,000-seat arena. I think the council is also tired of the litigation, so they approved entering into settlement negotiations to see if they can bring an end to the lawsuits, which obviously would probably involve ending the plans for the arena in that neighborhood, too. So it's really clear that at least a majority of the council is worn down by this ongoing legal fight.
And non-essential travel was allowed once again after such a long time to allow that informal economy to get started back up again. But you say that not everyone that worked in that economy before will necessarily go back to it.
So there's long been this informal economy in El Paso and Juarez, where Juarez residents will come over and do work in El Paso, many of them without the authorization to work here. They'll cross on their border crossing cards, which allows them to shop, but they'll work as housekeepers, as auto mechanics, things like that. And with the reopening on Monday, we're starting to see some of those informal economy workers come back over. Our colleagues at La Verdad in Ciudad Juarez talked to a couple of women who do house cleaning, and they're really looking forward to coming back. But they also talked to an auto body repair worker who decided that he'd rather stay in Juarez, that he can make enough money there without dealing with all of the hassles of having to present himself to border officials and things like that. So one of the things that's true of the pandemic generally is it's led people to rethink how they approach life, whether they're happy with the jobs they're doing. And that also applies to these workers in the informal economy. So the pandemic's going to continue to disrupt life on the border and change the way we've kind of lived our lives along the border for decades.
You can find these stories and more at ElPasoMatters.org. Bob, thank you very much for the update. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too.